go ahead and start with the All right, Dora, let's start with roll.
Okay. Commissioner Briceño?
Present.
Commissioner Bach?
Here.
Commissioner Duran?
Present.
Commissioner Faruqi?
Here.
Commissioner Kent?
Here.
Commissioner Lee?
Here.
Good deal. Who is it?
Commissioner Lee? Commissioner Matsuba?
Here.
Commissioner O'Neill? Commissioner Steinberg?
Present.
And Commissioner Wang?
Check
my here.
Okay, we have a quorum.
Hi, sorry, it's Janie. I just joined. I wasn't able to log on. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Our position may have it, I don't know.
All right, let's start with our first item, please.
Okay, open quote and reflection.
Is that me?
I believe so, yes.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. Great to see everybody. There was a great Jewish philosopher of last century named Abraham Joshua Heschel. And he said that some are guilty, all are responsible. And I think about that quote a lot in terms of particularly the work that all of us do. None of us on this call are hateful people. And so we're not guilty of hate, but we are responsible to try our very best to ensure that it doesn't happen wherever we are and wherever we go. I think that's probably the reason all of us said yes to sitting on this commission. And so in a little while, you'll hear from my friend and colleague, Lisa Armoni, about taking responsibility for our society to fight against hate. Another phrase that it's not just for the Jewish community, but we use it a lot, but I'm sure in the Asian community, the Muslim community, wherever, we always say never again. And that is a really wonderful thing to say. It's a whole another thing to actually ensure that never again happens. And so this commission works diligently to ensure never again. And I know my particular community, as all of your communities do as well. So as we proceed and as we listen to Lisa make her presentation today, I would just invite you to really embody the idea that some are guilty and all are responsible. And it's us in Orange County on this commission who are responsible for fighting hate. Thank you.
Yes, so true. Thank you so much, Rabbi Rick. Appreciate that. Just so fitting for the work that we do. It's so true. All right, the next item, please.
Okay, item number three, overview of monthly summary of commission activities.
And who is that? I don't have my...
Dr. O'Neill, but she is not here with us today. I can quickly just do an overview. So last month of May, there was a couple different things that we participated in, and we did. So we've held various community-based, we've done, offered a support to a variety of community-based organizations in setting up upcoming events. This is really under the contract of the anti-hate expansion. So as we foresaw that we are launching our website or our reporting form, et cetera, we started working with the CBOs to start planning out events from here until December. So my staff have been working on that. Additionally, we had staff who participated and supported the OC Human Relations Council with a film screening of Who We Are. And we shared that flyer at the last meeting. There was a panel discussion with Jeffrey Robinson, which was really, really great. And I believe it was recorded and it will be uploaded on the council website. So if anybody's interested in watching that, That's where you can find it. And then lastly, the council held their, what would have been their annual awards, but it's not anymore. They had a luncheon on May 12th, and some of my staff were there to support and share a little bit about our commission work. And it was really focused on just the rise of hate and how is it that folks can activate and participate. And as Rabbi Rick said, take on the responsibility to really combat what's happening in our communities. On the second page, if you'd like to see, we have the graphic showing that we had a total of 6 hate motivated events reported this month. And it gives you a breakdown there. Any questions?
I just have one, Norma, and that would be to request of the council not to plan their award ceremony at the exact same time as a commission meeting. If we're trying to be partners, that kind of goes against that idea. So, thanks.
Norma, I have a question, if you don't mind. I can't see the agenda and I couldn't find mine. That's a whole different story. But I have gotten a report, and I think I mentioned it to you the other day, that members of the Ukrainian community that are now moving into Southern California and certainly into Orange County have received some harassment, I guess. I don't know that it necessarily is comes to the level of a hate crime yet or anything like that. But apparently what I was told was anyone with a Russian sounding voice, whether they be Russian, Ukrainian, or whatever, that there have been several incidents. Have you received any information about that? And if not, is there still some way for all of us to be proactive rather than reactive if and when we find specific incidents?
That's a great question. As of today, we have not received hate reports around this issue or this community. And I would imagine, if I'd be interested to hear where you're hearing the reports and who's connected to this community, because then that way we could probably offer the resource, engage with them about how to report and then also how to get help and support if that's something they're looking for.
This particular thing was reported through the Sheriff's Interfaith gathering on recent ones on the attacks on houses of worship. But I can get you specifically, honestly, at this moment, I can't remember if it was the FBI representative or the Homeland Security representative, but I will get you that information.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, anything else? All right, we'll move to the next item, please.
Okay, open forum. If anybody wishes to speak, please press *9 on your phone or the hand raise icon on the Zoom button. Okay, it looks like we have Felicity Figueroa.
Hi, good morning. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm here, Felicity Figueroa, she, her, hers. I hope you're all staying healthy in these very uncertain times. I just wanted to say, as a response to what you were discussing about the activities, that the Who We Are presentation was really amazing. And we would really love to be able to present that film to a number of different groups here in the county. I think it's so informative and important that as many people as possible are able to watch it and realize who we are, what our history in this nation is. I also see that action item 6 on your agenda refers to DEI celebrations to be added to your calendar. That's great. This month particularly has a lot of special days devoted to specific marginalized groups in our county. This coming weekend, as you probably know, will be a day of national recognition of the prevalence of gun violence, often a manifestation of hate, and especially targeting our marginalized communities. March for Our Lives will have at least three events on Saturday that I'm aware of, in Centennial Park in Santa Ana, Pearson Park in Anaheim, and in Laguna Beach. The next weekend is Juneteenth, one of the most important celebrations within our African-American community, as I'm sure you are aware. There'll be a big celebration in Centennial Park this year on Saturday from 11 to 6, and then another one put on by the City of Irvine's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee that's going to take place at the Great Park and will also feature a BIPOC marketplace. I know many Black-led organizations, including the Orange County NAACP, of which I am a part, will have booths there, and there'll be other activities and for kids and adults. It should be wonderful. Then on June 25th, OC Pride is coming back in person to Santa Ana with a full day event complete with parade. It's heartening to see more and more OC cities recognizing and supporting their LGBTQIA plus residents. I was so happy to participate in Irvine's inaugural celebration of Harvey Milk Day on May 22nd and the beginning of Pride Month by hosting a community fair with tabling organizations, food, and other activities, including the formal raising of the Progress flag over City Hall. And just last week, we held an inclusive book fair with many local dignitaries there that made kids and their parents who identify as LGBTQIA+ feel welcome and valued. It made me proud to live in the city of Irvine, and I hope more of our cities follow their example. On another note, and especially with the knowledge that discussions are beginning on next year's county budget, I want to again bring up the request that we voiced at your last meeting for the ability to have our real-time comments heard at the Board of Supervisors meetings, as is being facilitated at so many other city council meetings. It's important for those making decisive decisions, including how our tax dollars are to be spent, to know and understand the priorities of those who will be most affected. Please let us know if you have any updates on that matter, or if there's any way we can help move it forward. Thanks so much, and I hope to see many of you at some of the wonderful June events.
Thank you, excuse me. Thank you, Felicity, for that update of all the events that will be taking place in the next week or so, and for your involvement in so much, in so many of the activities. We appreciate that.
Okay, our next speaker is Pat Davis.
This is the only way I get to see Felicity, even though I'm not seeing her in person. Good morning. It is good to see folks. And I do want to commend you for the format allowing us to call in, observe, watch, and a second Felicity's notion with the Board of Supervisors. And as you continue to consider the impacts of COVID, that you will always consider a hybrid option. I know COVID's not done with my family just yet, so we've got some new scares. So we've got to continue to maintain some caution and just respect folks who don't have the luxury of being able to go physically to a meeting at different times during the day. I'm excited also to see the calendar there. Certainly with a racial equity lens, that makes a huge difference in how we look at particularly very traditional holidays and the ways it impacts Orange County. And as you might imagine, with my interest in the unhoused, is calling your attention to possibly including the Longest Night, which is held on the Yule winter solstice. And that is the night that nationally we look at those who have passed while on the street. And we know those numbers are continuing to grow in Orange County instead of going down. And that would be December 21. And also, it may seem odd, but World Toilet Day, which is November 19th, and it's an international day sponsored by the UN, wherein we look at water and access to toileting, and that's a huge issue for our in-house folks here in Orange County. Many cities have closed restrooms. Anaheim even took out some restrooms, took down the whole damn building in some parks because they didn't want folks using the restroom. So it's an important piece. And then Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week is kind of a nice tweak on what many still celebrate as Thanksgiving, and it's looking at the lack of food and housing for the unhoused. So hope that might be something you'll consider. And looking at the budget as we go forward, I would love the opportunity to share with each of you personally our People's Budget Orange County Toolkit for comments this next Tuesday. The budget is coming forward. And again, we see that public protection dollars far exceed community resources, and we're asking for a shift in how those monies go forward and the ways in which they're used in our most vulnerable community. So thank you and have a good day. I probably will have to get off on a call, but I'm going to listen for as long as I can. Thank you.
I don't see anybody else.
I'm sorry, I was on mute. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say thank you to Pat and for all that she's doing in the community, and especially her work with the unhoused. And thank you for informing us of the events coming up. Do we have any others?
Okay. Do you have more? No, I don't see anybody else, Chair.
Okay, moving on to the next item, please.
Okay, item number 4, Driving Out Darkness presentation.
Rabbi Rick, would you like to do the honors of introducing our fabulous speaker?
Terrific. It's with pleasure. If you don't know Lisa Armoni, let me introduce her to you. She always gets mad at me when I say this, but she basically runs the Jewish community here in Orange County. She really is a terrific advocate, not just for the Jewish community, but, you know, a lot of these messages are very universal that all of us are working on. And so Lisa is the Chief Impact Officer of the Jewish Federation of Orange County and has been a leader in our community for the last couple of decades and is an expert on anti-Semitism and the Holocaust, and really is a creative source in our community and really the brain behind the program she's going to present right now. So Lisa, the floor is yours.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Rabbi Steinberg. And thank you to everybody for allowing me to address you today. I want to apologize. I'm actually in your space right now. I thought the meeting was in person. I jumped into my car. So that's why I'm really glad that we can be together. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity to share the work with you. Driving Out Darkness is Jewish Federation of Orange County's upcoming one-day summit on anti-Semitism and hate. That'll take place on Tuesday, August 30th on the campus of UC Irvine. And I'm very honored to be working on this program with Rabbi Rick Steinberg. He's part of our steering committee of experts and has been just a wonderful thought partner and partner on the execution of this. And so it's wonderful to be working with him here in this space and in the space of the summit. We're calling our summit Driving Out Darkness, and I'm going to explain why. But I guess I want to preface my remarks by saying why I'm here to speak to you specifically. As human relations commissioners, you are critical to Orange County's efforts to combat hate, bigotry, and discrimination, and build a community grounded in equity and respect for diversity. And that's really why I wanted to share this information with you. It's a request that you be there to learn with us on August 30th, and that you stand at the event as a model for community, for the community to which we aspire. I'm going to ask that you share this event with your networks, because it's going to be very important for us to bring people together who want to work together to reach the outcomes that we desire. I'm also here to request the commission's endorsement of the summit, which will give great credibility to the work and help us ensure that those stakeholders who need to be part of the communal conversation about hate will be in the room that day. The summit couldn't be any more timely and urgent. No doubt you know that incidents of anti-Semitism for the last 6 years have been at historically high levels, both in Orange County and throughout the US and around the world as well. At the same time, we're seeing disturbingly high levels of hate targeting other communities, causing many to live with heightened anxiety about the safety of their members and their institutions. The parallel rise of anti-Semitism and other forms of hate is not at all a coincidence. We've actually seen this pattern many times in history. And history's also shown us that rising levels of anti-Semitism threaten a society's democratic institutions. That's the framing for our summit. In other words, when it comes to anti-Semitism, we all have skin in the game. And we need to understand this as a community so that we can develop collective strategies to combat this as a collective threat. So I said I wanted to share a little bit about where driving out darkness comes from. In April 1958, in Montgomery, Alabama, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, in one of his most famous sermons, said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." We're living in a world and in a time when darkness seems to be all around us. When shoppers who are out purchasing food for their families are brutally gunned down in a supermarket for no reason but for the color of their skin, we're feeling the darkness. When people are murdered as they gather in prayer, as they were in Pittsburgh in 2017, in Christchurch, New Zealand, in Poway, we feel the darkness. When beloved elders are beaten in the streets because of a horrible and dangerous slander, when bigotry and hatred reemerge in disturbing ways, and when extremes become emboldened in their rhetoric, and that rhetoric becomes increasingly mainstreamed, it's hard to find light amid that darkness. And yet, as a community committed to goodness and empathy, to pluralism and creating safe environments for our children and for each other, we have to look for that light, because that light is what's going to drive out the darkness of hate. Indeed, Dr. King implores us to be the light, to spread that light, so that together we can drive out the darkness. And so in that spirit, we've called our summit Driving Out Darkness, Orange County Summit on Anti-Semitism and Hate. It's a partnership of Jewish Federation of Orange County's Rose Project, along with the Anti-Defamation League, the Jewish Studies Program at UC Irvine, the Focus Project, and Congregation Shir HaMaalot. And I want to say I'm just so proud that we're going to be hosted by UC Irvine's Office of Inclusive Excellence, which has really been a leader in the state and in the country in terms of diversity, equity, inclusion issues, in terms of working to bring about a civil campus climate for all of its students. It's wonderful to have their support and their help with this project. The framing for the summit is precisely that interconnectedness between anti-Semitism, other forms of hate, and threats to democracy. And so we're going to be spending our time at the summit unpacking what that means. What is anti-Semitism? How does it differ from other forms of hate? How it works? Why is it at the core of other hateful ideologies? And why does it threaten democratic institutions? And I thought I would just spend a few minutes giving you some brief insight into this critical learning. You see, anti-Semitism is not like other forms of hate where one simply doesn't like another person or another group because of who they are, because of the color of their skin or their religion, their gender identity, or some other immutable characteristic of their identity. There's an element of that in anti-Semitism, but conspiracy theory. Jews are stereotyped as conspirators seeking to harm others. We saw this in the accusation of deicide when Jews were accused of murdering Jesus. We saw it in medieval times when they were accused of poisoning wells and causing the bubonic plague. Today, we see it in the manifestations of anti-Semitism, as conspiratorial anti-Semitism lies at the core of white supremacy, because believers accuse that Jews are conspiring against white Christian America. There's another important piece to this. Very often with other forms of hatred, the other is seen as inferior. The hater punches down on those who are perceived as less smart, less deserving, less human than they are. With anti-Semitism, there's an element of what we call punching up. Because Jews are considered smart and powerful, rich, but also scheming, duplicitous, and greedy. So how does this manifest in contemporary America? Well, we're all familiar with the tragic shootings in Pittsburgh in 2017 and in Poway in 2018, when white supremacists entered synagogues for the purpose of murdering Jews. Their hatred and violence was motivated by the false belief that Jews were behind efforts to increase the immigration into the United States of people of color, including Muslims, people from Mexico and Central America, for the purpose of diminishing the power and influence of white Christian Americans. Now, that's what we call, I'm going to use quote marks, white replacement theory. It's actually not a theory. It's a decades-old racist conspiratorial canard that imagines a nefarious force scheming to replace white European populations in Western countries, including the US. The goal is to destroy white Christian culture and influence and power by flooding these countries with immigrants of color. When you understand the conspiratorial and punching up characteristics of anti-Semitism, you understand how white supremacists arrive at the notion that Jews are the nefarious force they fear. You see, if people of color are inferior to white Christians, they alone could not possibly be causing the demise of white America. There has to be another group behind this plot, one that's smarter, one that's maliciously smart, conniving, secretive, with the financial resources to make it happen. And that in their mind is the Jew. And that's because of the historic stereotypes of Jews as powerful, rich, disloyal, untrustworthy, the ultimate puppet master seeking to take over the world. These are the stereotypes of deep-seated systemic Jew hatred. It's why the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists who marched on Charlottesville ostensibly to protect Confederate statues chanted, "Jews will not replace us." It's why the murderers of worshipers in the Christ Church Mosque in El Paso, where 23 people from the Latino community were murdered, and in the Buffalo supermarket, left behind screeds that centered anti-Semitism as the core of their hatred, even as they murdered Muslims, Latinos, and African Americans. Of course, lies their hatred in the most heinous and egregious. They don't start off as violent racists. They need to learn the false ideologies, and then they may actualize their violent behavior. So we should be very alarmed that in this country, polls are showing that an increasing percentage of Americans believe in at least some elements of white replacement theory, and that America's identity is under threat. These views have moved from the extreme fringes of society into the mainstream, and people are reading about them more and more. They're seeing them on social media, they're hearing them in the media, and they're even hearing them from certain politicians. And it's fueling a significant amount of the hate that we experience today. Our goal at the summit is to reach people who don't understand these connections between anti-Semitism and other forms of hate, so that we can be proactive and more effective as a community in our efforts to combat extremism. Now, I want to take a look at another situation. In Colleyville, Texas, an armed Muslim man from the United Kingdom entered a synagogue, actually it was morning, the Sabbath, where he knew Jews would be gathered in prayer, and he took four Jews hostage. He demanded the release of a Pakistani national who's serving a decades-long sentence on terrorism charges at a federal prison in nearby Fort Worth, and whose imprisonment has become a bit of a cause in some Pakistani and other circles. Now, according to the statements made during the hostage standoff, the man evidently believed that a rabbi or some other members of the Jewish community could make that release happen. Now, how could he have come to that belief? Once again, we see embedded in somebody's worldview the notion that Jews, who are a tiny portion of the world's population, have disproportionate power and secretly control the world. When we put these two types of incidents side by side, we see how people whose ideologies may be at polar opposites, people like Louis Farrakhan on the one hand and David Duke on the other, who agree on nothing except one thing, that Jews secretly control society and are responsible for everything that's wrong in America. Jews are the common enemy in the story of contemporary anti-Semitism, from the far right to the far left, according to this conspiratorial mindset. And I'll add just one more disturbing dimension to this conversation, and that is in the words of the UN Special Rapporteur on Freedom of Religion, Ahmed Shaheed, he said, anti-Semitism is toxic to democracy. And thus, it's no surprise that at a time when we see rising levels of anti-Semitism, we also see our democratic structures and systems becoming increasingly fragile. Anti-Semitism undermines democratic societies by presenting serious challenges to the elimination of all forms of intolerance, hatred, and discrimination based on religion or belief. By cultivating other ideologies anchored in hate and prejudice, anti-Semitism threatens the realization of all people's human rights and overall security of states where it occurs. And moreover, societies that fall prey to anti-Semitic conspiracy theories lose their ability to rationally address their problems because they offload them onto the Jews. By blaming Jews for their problems, anti-Semitism becomes an assault on truth and strips humans of their agency to make meaningful change. We saw that in medieval Europe. We saw it in Nazi Germany. And we see it today when some in society feel that the world is changing in ways that they do not like and they cannot control. It's these threats that we've seen end in tragedy throughout history that are the motivating factors behind the summit. So what can you expect at the summit? We're going to bring together leaders across sectors of our Orange County community, including civic and nonprofit leaders, faith and interfaith leaders, ethnic organizations, people from diversity, equity, inclusion spaces, government and elected officials, K-12 and higher education, the media and policing, for a day of immersive learning with national and local experts. And among some of the experts who will be at the summit are Eric Ward, who is the executive director of the Western State Center, and a nationally recognized expert on the relationship between authoritarian movements, hate violence, and preserving inclusive democracy. Also, Ambassador Rabbi David Saperstein will be there. Ambassador Saperstein served as the first United States Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom during the second term of the Obama administration. So today, that position that's filled by Dr. Deborah Lipstadt, that's the role that Ambassador Saperstein played, and we're really thrilled that he has agreed to join us. Other experts include Oren Siegel, who's the vice president of the ADL's Center on Extremism. We're excited to welcome the superintendent of Anaheim Joint Union High School District, Michael Matsuda, who is doing incredible work in inclusiveness, DEI, civics education in Anaheim, and many, many other leaders in their field. Together, we're going to take a deep dive into the history of anti-Semitism and its current and complex manifestations. We'll explore the connectivity that I discussed earlier and this notion that we all have skin in the game. We're going to gain tools and develop strategies to combat anti-Jewish and other forms of hate. And importantly, we're going to develop relationships and engage with the diverse stakeholders to leverage our collective resources so that we can foster lasting partnerships and collaborations. The program is going to be held at the Student Center of UC Irvine. And I know it's a full day program. It's packed with plenary sessions as well as breakout sessions geared to the specific groups of stakeholders that I mentioned, including a special session for elected officials. Special sessions for educators, interfaith leaders. We're going to have a track just for college administrators that's going to be led by our colleague organization, Hillel International. There's going to be a lot to learn. So I hope you'll join us for this program and give your support to the initiative. I believe that Norma may have shared a flyer with you. If not, I can share it electronically. It has information about registration. But I also want to add that we are requesting your endorsement. And what I mean by that, it's not a monetary contribution, but several of our partners and local organizations, including the city of Irvine, have joined on to what we call an allied partnership. We're including their names and logos as supporters on all of our marketing material. And it really lends tremendous credibility to the work that we're doing and will be, as I mentioned, just so helpful in bringing people together for this day. So thank you again for the time. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. And I really hope to see you on August 30th.
So I have a question. I was listening to what you said. I feel very strongly about anti-Semitic behavior too. I feel very strongly about any hate or stereotyping, but I do have to just, I was a little curious during your dialogue and I enjoyed listening to it, and I look forward to attending the summit. One of the things you stated was that this is perpetrated also by white Christians. And I think we have to be also very careful not to stereotype white Christians, because again, not, I'm a white Christian, and I would definitely, I have many Jewish friends, and I feel very strongly about the work we need to do against anti-Semitic behavior, much more than is being done. I think anything that empowers a block in the road to stop the ideology, the learned behavior from whoever they're getting it from, that there is a nation of amazingly faith-based people who date back so far back with their history and their faith that is so empowering to learn about rather than it be a threat, that we also have to be careful not to, we do have white supremacists, and I agree, there is no doubt in their mind that there isn't any, there's no one that they would even consider equal than who they are. But there are many, many white Christians who have embraced not only their Jewish friends, their Muslim friends, their LGBTQ friends. I mean, we can't categorize them also. And I think that was something that was a little disturbing for me when you said, you know, white Christians rather than some white Christians or white Christians in that margin of, in, as in a white propagandist or a person that is hateful. So I think that I would just like to add that. But I did enjoy listening and I really look forward to the summit.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. And I just want to address, first of all, thank you. If that's actually what I said, or if that was what was understood, I want to make clear that that was not the intention at all. I was referring to the ideology of white supremacy and this belief in threats to white Christian America. There was never any intention to imply that white Christians believe this. And so again, if that's the way it landed, I thank you for calling my attention to that. But that was not the intention.
I would just add, please come, and even more, your networks. It's just, I've been saying a lot, it's one thing if Rick Steinberg gives a sermon on anti-Semitism, it's another thing if Rick Warren gives a sermon on anti-Semitism, and you can replace whatever name you want, and just having allies in every sector is not just beneficial to the Jewish community, it's beneficial to all of us who are fighting hate, because as Lisa mentioned, these tools are going to be transferable to the Hispanic community, to the Muslim community, to the Sikh community, to whomever. You'll get the history of the Jewish piece because there are pieces of that that are absolutely unique, but the tools will be able to be used across the board.
May I make a comment? Okay, thank you. I just want to say thank you so much, Lisa, for your presentation. I feel honored to get a sneak peek. I will be attending the conference. I'm really happy to have heard you. And, you know, I don't know what the procedure is for our commission to lend our name to it. But if somebody can let me know, because I'd like to make a motion.
This is Jennifer. I actually agree as well. I was wondering how we can actually move forward, because I did hear that ask in the beginning. And I have to say that I do see this as a communal dialogue as well. And it's very important for Orange County to continue to have these dialogues. And Lisa, thank you so much for your thoughts and being so thorough. Because right now, I mean, I think you guys heard in the public comments about the importance of being inclusive, and to be inclusive, you have to acknowledge. And, you know, Rabbi Rick, I heard you in the beginning and know, like, we'll never forget. And I think that this is one of those pivotal moments within this commission here where let's figure out, like, how can we support this very, very timely and much needed space. Who do we ask?
I was also wondering, if you don't mind, can we get that flyer again? I happen to have not been available last month, but I would truly like to have the flyer so that I might pass it on to other interfaith groups and to the Los Angeles Episcopal Diocese, who also covers Orange County.
I will send out that flyer to everybody after the meeting.
Okay, thank you, Norma. As far as the question that was on the floor about supporting as a group, who does that go to, Renee?
Yeah, I'm happy to take that. Sure. So we had the same question come up during the week. There was another event that Norma had asked us about. So we've posed the question to County Council already. But what I can tell you thus far is that that is really what the county events master calendar is for. And you voted, I believe, at the April meeting to add some events. So that's why it's really important that we have a full list of events at that point in time annually, so that we can get them approved in one motion. Mm-hmm. So we are trying to figure out what the process is to add after the fact. And so as soon as we have that information, we'll get back to Norma, and she'll be able to distribute the information and help everybody better understand the process moving forward.
Okay, thank you. Does that kind of answer for
everyone? Just a quick question, Madam Chair, for Renee. Yeah. Can we just put it as an agenda item for next month, and that at least will buy us 6 weeks of sponsorship, or it doesn't work that way?
So we still have to work with council on the specifics, but I do believe it has to go to the Board of Supervisors for approval. And so getting it on an agenda item, you know, that the supervisors will approve, it takes some time. And I think we've talked about this before, you know, regarding the bylaws, it's about a 6-week process. So we can look at other ways of getting the information, like through a supplemental, which bypasses some of the time delay. But again, we need to find out from County Council if that's a requirement. So having your board approve it at this point, there's still another level of approval needs to happen. So let's let us do a little more research and better understand. But let's try to keep a running list of these items so that come next April, May, we have a list of potential events we'd like to put on the calendar, because it's always better to get pre-approval and not, you know, if the event doesn't happen, there's no harm, no foul. We have them all on the calendar for the coming years. Norma, I'm sorry, I don't see Norma. Norma, I'd ask you just to kind of keep a running list of all of these events as they come through, so that we have some good information to present to the commission next spring.
Renee? May I just ask, what happens if we don't know a year ahead?
So there is a process for that, and we are working with County Council to better understand what that exact process is. But the early feedback we got is that it does need to go to the Board of Supervisors for approval.
Okay.
And just FYI, Renee, as you're doing it, Supervisor Doe will be speaking at the conference. So I don't know if that's a way to get in, but just wanted to
might help.
That's definitely good information. And he and A have already included the event on the master calendar. So,
okay, ma'am. Sorry, they're having to take it all.
Sorry. So I may, that's good information. We'll look into that.
Okay, thank you.
Hopefully that will help, Rabbi Rick. I hope that can help us expedite this process. There's always so much, so many steps, just, you know. But Lisa, thank you so much for an informative talk. And it just so ties in with how Rick started the meeting, that we will never forget, and that we need to make it clear to people what really is going on, and the perception of what the people have of the Jewish community, and what, you know, just the hate that still dwells in so many people. And I'm looking forward to going to the event. Really am.
Commissioner Farooqi has
Farooqi. I mean, Farid.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon, almost. Lisa, thank you so very much for bringing this to our attention, to the commission. And this is a very important summit. It speaks to many things, as you said. It's not just about a community or a group. And in this case, obviously, the Jewish community has faced a lot of atrocities and hate that continue to pour out in different spaces. And things that you covered are very much important. I'm just thinking on a broader scale, the suffering is community, whether they are Latinos, whether they are Black, people of different color, and obviously the Islamophobia, which is as much as on rise and under attack, more so than before, right here within our nation, in many quarters, millions of dollars being spent to spew hate and fear against people that just because you do not know who they are. And what makes it worse is what's happening across the globe, whether it is Ukraine, whether it is Yemen, Syria, and all that, whether it is political, Rohingya Muslims, the Uyghurs in China, and now the biggest democracy, India. I come from India. It's painful to see what's happening over there. Very little is being said or done in the news in terms of the genocide. If there's anybody who knows what a genocide is the Jewish people, right? Armenians, everyone else have gone through it, including Muslims, whether you take what happened in Eastern Europe, Bosnia and Herzegovina and all those places. Genocides happened, it takes time, and one day it just shows up on your doorstep. India is at that brink of what is going on. And I bring this up because I think this summit, if you can, I do not know if you can weave in anything, not to make it political. We are talking about human life. Human life, no matter where it is, whether it's in Orange County, in the streets of Chicago, or in Texas, or anywhere else where these shootings, senseless shootings were happening, just because people don't understand, it is a life nonetheless. So how do we, if Human Relations Commission comes in on any area, and we need to endorse, we need to support, and this whole process of getting an approval is a long-standing process, and hopefully the bylaws changes that are coming up and our special meeting tomorrow may address parts of this, I do not know. So if we cut the chase and we get to the job that needs to be done, I do understand some part of the politics and the process, but you know, life doesn't wait. When somebody is there with a gun and shooting kids, you know, they are not asking questions, they're just doing it. And on the other side, we wait and wait and wait until something happens and we wake up again and we cry and we pray and we support each other until the next one happens. So there is all of this going on. My point being made here, Lisa, if there is some way, because you've taken a lot of effort, you and Commissioner Steinberg and many others, and I see the list of prominent speakers on the panel, the timing is right to bring in a more broader inclusion. You know, whether it is led by the Jewish Federation or anyone else, I would request, if you are going to be part of whether Human Relations or anyone endorses, the conversation has to be a little broader one, right? It's not just about Jews, it's all of us. If one part of the body hurts, the entire body feels the pain. We are one humanity. Okay, there are people who don't like us, no matter where we come from. But we have to win them over with love and education and awareness to others who do not know. people are just ignoring, unfortunately. They don't have time to read the news and get the right news and understand it. So who does it fall on? It falls on few shoulders of us, people right here, who take the time and come and share their Felicity Figaro and many others that come and share their thoughts with us. These are the people that are active out there on the street. So my request is, while the commission is considering, and we will, you know, whether it is this summit or next, but there's still time. And if you can weave in having speakers from a couple of other representation, whether it is one of our own commissioners, Jennifer Wang, because she is very informed, you know, not that I'm informed on Indian affairs and issues, but I'm talking from a standpoint of discrimination, hate, and everything else. I think it'll send out a powerful statement to the community and those that hate us collectively, that enough is enough. You're not going to divide us, because the way to conquer somebody is to divide. To create fear is to say the other was no good and demean them, right? Bring them down one step at a time. And we see it over and over, whether it is Rwanda or if it is what's happening or you're in Ukraine for whatever reasons. But we know it's just trying to put this the other person down. So I'm just placing that, you know, something for consideration.
Go ahead, Lisa. Sorry.
The fact that we had the shooting in Nigeria this week in the Christian church during their services, where I think 60 people were died, and then the congregation inside that was wounded. I mean, this hate is just worldwide. And I really appreciate what you were saying, Fari, about there doesn't stay in a package. It seeps across the world. It seeps across every culture, seeps across every religion. You know, faith is supposed to be faith. And when it loses its bearing and becomes a weapon, it is a tragedy, whether it's here in Nigeria, like you were talking about Bosnia, Croatia. I mean, the grief in the world based in faith. Ireland, look at Ireland, the Protestants and the Catholics. I mean, we have to try and circumvent the evil. And I do believe we do the best we can. And I think Lisa's going to do an amazing job at the summit of education. You know, if people get to know people of other faiths, they can see that they are not a threat, that they are actually just like them. They're just good people, family people. And we can only, there's a saying, you know, one starfish at a time, that the little boy that picks the starfish off the beach and his grandfather says, you can't save them all. And he says, well, one starfish at a time. And everything we do, we are doing something to change the world, our county, and maybe that then spreads out. But I just wanted to remember Nigeria today too, while we're talking about hate.
Thank you.
Dorothy. Go ahead, Lisa, sorry.
No, that's fine. First, for acknowledging all of that, there's a lot of darkness in the world today, as I mentioned in my comments. I want to emphasize, I welcome opportunities to explore more speakers. Our program is not fully set. We have a lot in place, thank goodness, but we still have some work to do in terms of the program. But I want to be clear on two pieces of the structural element of it. And the one is that we recognize that hate is much bigger than any one community's victimization by it. We come to this conversation as the Jewish community with a unique experience and with some unique knowledge that we think in that particularity has universal impact. And so the goal of this is to shine a light on one, as Rabbi Steinberg said, one piece of this that has we believe, profound implications for other communities right here in Orange County. And certainly the resources that we'll be providing, the lessons learned, the strategies and recommendations that we hope will come out of this will be applicable to hate, broadly speaking, in our community. The other thing that I want to say is that we see this as the beginning. I'm not aware. I've been doing this work for 10 years. I'm not aware of something of this nature and of the magnitude that we're trying to make it that brings all of these different diverse stakeholders together around this conversation. And we really hope this is just a first step. That's why the element of relationship building is so important, and sharing of resources, because we know that we have a tremendous amount of work to do. And so we want to create a platform where people can start to think collaboratively about how they move forward, whether it's in the education space, maybe it's in the governmental space. There's a lot of different places where we need the work, but we also want to be mindful that we are Orange County based. We're working with Orange County based organizations. And what we really want to do at this point is try to move the needle ever so slightly in Orange County, mindful of the other tragedies that are taking place worldwide, where we will hopefully have many more opportunities to think collaboratively about those.
Lisa, thank you for that. The reason I bring that up, Lisa, it's not because what's happening in your different parts of the world, even though we are all connected. There's locally things going on that is feeding into this whole fear mongering and hate in different quarters. And whether it is Jewish, whether it is Black, whether it is the people of Asian descent, and on, right? And that includes Indians as well. There is a rise in the funding of what's going on by the BJP and the other parties right here, from the tech giants to whatever else, people in places of power and money being thrown. On one hand, while we are trying to fight and educate, there is this political and other kind of thing being used to counter it, right? And you wonder what's going on. You know, it's David and Goliath kind of a thing all the time. So yesterday I was in a meeting with Rashad Ahmed. He's an appointee as ambassador by President Biden to Freedom of Religion International, right? And he covered a lot of issues. And then straight from there, he went to Laguna Woods in the afternoon, about 3:30, 4 o'clock, for what happened over there, senseless killing, right? And he was talking about the issues, the policy, and what happens in front and behind the scenes in different spaces and his own role. A person like that would be a good speaker, because he's for all. He, out of the confirmation that he got from the Senate, was he said 95 senators voted for him to be confirmed. Huge confirmation, because a person who works across all, I'm not saying that because he's of Indian descent and a Muslim, but it is the representation. And something like this that you're doing, a summit, I think if you get him there, that'll speak volumes. It's not going on religious basis or not going on any kind of thing. It's
But that's the point, Fareed, is that more than 50% of our speakers are not Jewish. So Eric Ward is an African-American non-Jewish person who's an expert in this area. So your sentiments are spot on in that that's exactly what we're trying to do, is speak Jewish person to Jewish person, but really at a much broad base for exactly the right message that you're trying to get across. So I just want to reassure you that it will be a place where you're going to be able to say, oh, I totally relate to that. I'm totally into that. Oh, that's uniquely Jewish, but totally applies to what we're doing. And then the last thing I would simply say to echo Lisa is, I think this is going to be a model, and my prediction is that the Orange County Human Relations might do an all-day summit on hate in general sometime in the future. I can see it happening already. So your sentiments are right, Fareed, and I think you won't be disappointed. I think you're going to see your idea really come to fruition already where we're at.
No, definitely, Commissioner Steinberg, and we have spoken about this, that we as Human Relations Commission should convene a conference. I mean, obviously, this whole week, and I was with a mayor from Trinidad for the Conference of the Americas, you know, on different issues that they're there, meeting up, and Biden was there yesterday as well. But it comes to the point that we are, even though we are local, and I think we are making a mark, right? OC Human Relations is making a mark. We are being recognized. We need to use this platform and the bully pulpit, whatever we want to call it, right? With the authorization and blessings of our supervisors and whatever else. But we are being empowered to do this. So if we can plan from now, and I would be the first one to put myself, and I'll ask the commission chair to initiate that we do in 2023 a summit similar, but on a broader scale. And we do it annualized, right? I think it's about time we do this. It's about time we have a broader inclusion and conversation and things that come out of it. I mean, this whole thing that we did 6 months and we got funded, yeah, it's a huge opportunity. So that data and that information itself should add to the value of what we are trying to do. And that should lead into the conference, which is now more meaningful and deeper.
Sure. Absolutely. Very important for us to come together for some type of a, you know, summit similar to what is being planned. So I agree with Rick. I think, you know, as he was saying, it is going to be so meaningful hearing from people from different faiths, different backgrounds, different races. It's being pulled together by the Jewish community, but we're going to be hearing from so many people. And I think it's important for us as the commission to be able to put on such an event as well.
Absolutely, Commissioner.
Yeah.
So Lisa, thank you, first of all.
Yeah, you know, thank you so much.
I'm here to work along with you. He's here to work with you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Lisa. We really appreciate you.
Madam Chair, I have to go to my next meeting. I'm so sorry. Thank you all very much.
Thanks, Rabbi Rick. Okay. All right. I think we're ready for our next item.
Okay. Item number 5, review and reconsider state of emergency under AB 361 and make findings to continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19. As required by government code subsection 54959E3.
So do we have any comments on this before we vote on it? I know we had hoped, you know, we talked about in the best world it would be having a hybrid meeting, but since that's not possible, it looks like at this point, it's important to take the safety in consideration and remain virtual. I don't know if anyone else wants to comment on that.
My comment, actually, it's about safety and stuff, but I do listen to them when we have open forum, and they do mention that, you know, with this format, they're able to give us our thoughts and provide their input. And I think that's really important for what we do. We need to keep that community connection. So until then, when we have some sort of hybrid option or other alternatives, I'd still like to continue to hear from the public.
Yeah, that has been very powerful and impactful. So yes, it's important. All right, would anyone like to make a motion on this?
Make a motion to keep it virtual as much as we can.
Okay. Second. Okay, Amy.
Okay, second by Amy. And then can we call the roll, please? I mean, the vote, yeah.
Okay. Commissioner Briceño?
Yes.
Commissioner Buck?
Yes.
Commissioner Duran?
Yes.
Commissioner Faruqi?
Yes.
Commissioner Kent?
Yes.
Commissioner Leach?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Masuba?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Neill?
Yes.
Commissioner Steinberg? Commissioner Wang?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, motion passes. Thank you. And we'll move on to the next item.
Item number 6, review, discuss, and approve using the diversity and inclusion calendar to acknowledge Diversity Cultural Month celebrations on the top of the commission meeting.
So this was actually brought up already by the public, the fact that we're going to be considering this, I would say, very important item. Quite simply, this is about inclusion. And, you know, we have this list of holiday celebration as well as observation. You know, this month alone, we talked about, you know, Juneteenth is very critical for not only the Black community, but within just across the United States to acknowledge when slavery officially ended, I guess. Even though, as we know, there's still many resounding hurt and issues that we still need to continue to address. And June is also a time where we're here to celebrate Pride Month as well. And last month in May, I have to say, my calendar was full. May is what we consider many celebrations, many to take care of. Not only, you know, what we are aware of as Mother's Day or to reflect for Memorial Day, but it was also Asian Pacific Islander. And I felt I was out there practically every day to acknowledge that. But I was still out there, our team was still out there, because it's important to show solidarity with each other. And so with this calendar, we talk about all the time, like, oh, we need to issue letters, we need to issue acknowledgement of things. But I think that we need to start with actually this calendar to push ourselves and also the county to see that just how diverse we are. And we need to have this cultural awareness. This will only make us stronger. And I have to also add that last month was really meaningful for me on a personal note. With the county, we went and requested with our Taiwanese elders to acknowledge that the first week of May is Taiwanese American Heritage. And with what happened this time around, it was so meaningful for everybody. And really, our elders clung onto the fact that they know that the county is aware of the community, that they acknowledge them and they embrace them. So I would open it up to see what the commissioners think about having this calendar.
I have a question about that. Can it, how do I say this, kind of go beyond just a calendar event? Is it possible to, on our website, to post what would be basically a logo or a flyer of the various events that are going on? Just so I think the visuals would be strong, but obviously the calendar events would be there as well. But I would just love to see the banners and the colors and reminding people of that we have so many events. Is that possible?
I think that's a great idea. Is that possible? Because this is a catalyst, you know?
I'm throwing it to Renee.
Yeah, I'm happy to chime in. Thanks, Chair. I think that's a great idea. I think that when we talk about the new bylaws tomorrow, there's going to be an addition of a standing committee, which is an outreach component that we don't have today. And maybe that could be a responsibility of the standing committee, is to ensure it's updated and ensure that the information is given to the county for posting.
Okay, great.
Chair Matsuba, I'd like to chime in.
Yes, please.
Commissioner Wang and Commissioner Leach, I'm so happy to hear about the calendar and the theme. And additionally, Renee, the outreach committee. It all seems like these are things that we can build upon, especially as as we move on year by year, just build upon what has been done. I'm all in.
That's great. Okay, I'm glad that we'll be have the opportunity to discuss it tomorrow and take it further. So Jennifer, what you're proposing, is that something we need to vote on today, or will we, I mean, we don't vote, I mean, do we vote on it? I guess is my question.
I hope so.
I think it is listed as an action item. So
it is an action item.
Someone can make a motion and then a second and okay. Then take a vote.
I do have a question very quickly for Renee, because we are looking to putting some of this very thing before a standing committee, which would be communications and outreach. Do we have to wait till tomorrow? Can we go ahead and do it today?
Well, I don't think the action really goes into that detail. So you're just voting on moving forward with acknowledging the events on a regular basis. So then we can define later, if need be, when the chair appoints the standing committee.
Perfect. I just didn't want to get caught up tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it is a reminder that we need a quorum tomorrow. It's really important. We got to get these bylaws moving to the next level. So yes, I think we could go ahead and if someone wants to make a motion and we can get a second, we can take a vote. And this gets us to that next step where we can really define exactly what we're going to do a later day, in a later meeting.
Jennifer, do it.
Okay, so I'd like to make a motion to use the diversity and inclusion calendar to acknowledge the cultural months and diversity month of celebrations at the top of our commission meeting.
Second.
Okay, great. And can we go through with the vote, please? Dora?
Commissioner Briseño?
Yes.
Commissioner Buck?
Yes.
Commissioner Duran?
Yes.
Commissioner Faruqi?
Yes.
Commissioner Kent?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Mbasuba?
Yes.
Commissioner O'Neill?
Yes.
Commissioner Steinberg? And Commissioner Wang?
Yes.
Okay, passes. And we will move on to our next item. That was Rabbi Rick.
Okay, item number seven.
Item number seven. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I kind of stepped on.
That's okay. Thank you. Bylaws ad hoc update.
I can just share tomorrow, as Renee mentioned. Tomorrow we have a special meeting at 1 p.m. To review the proposed changes to the commission bylaws. That then would be sent out to the Board of Supervisors for approval. I've only gotten four responses and a couple no's. So we do need at least six folks to be present to actually have a quorum and get the bylaws voted on. So please, 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 if you're able to move something around, be present. If you can't, we understand, but we need at least two more folks for us to be able to have a quorum tomorrow.
Norma, you can count on me. However, I may have to be in multiple screens, but I'll be on for the vote.
No worries. I appreciate that. Thank you. And that's all there is in terms of that item.
Okay, great. Thank you, Norma. And then we're moving to commission staff. Oh, I'm sorry, Dora.
That's okay, no worries. Item number eight, commission staff reports, anti-hate expansion contract update, Love Hurts Us All launch event, meet new CBO
liaison.
Liaison. Thank you, Norma.
No worries. Thank you, Dora. So just a quick updates on the contract, and it'll be actually married to the second point here, but we are full steam ahead. June 1st, officially 2110C launched our new reporting platform and reporting access to text and calls and email. So we're very excited about that. It's Sarah, Sarah's actually out sick, but Sarah with the rest of the team were really hard at work to make sure that the form was accessible, easy to use, and then of course that, you know, there was a language, the languages were well translated and then read in this format that is supposed to be read. So we're very excited about that. We are so close to really finalizing our Hate Hurts Us All website. And this is connected to the following point, our Love Hurts Us All, not love, hate. love hurts. And that's, okay, now I'm not gonna go into a song.
Different.
That'll be on Monday. I don't know why it says love hurts us all. That's so weird. Okay. Hate Hurts Us All launch event is on Monday. It's from 9 to 10:30 a.m. at Irvine City Hall. Thank you so much, Chief Kent, for hosting us. We're so excited about this because we have a jam-packed program where we're going to be talking about, you know, how the rise of hate in numbers, but then also the impacts in the different communities. We'll be hearing from our newest partners that have joined our effort through the expansion program, but also partners who have been allies for years through the Hate Crime Prevention Network. So we'll be hearing about them. We'll be hearing about, you know, the advocacy that happened that led us to this point in being able to talk about this campaign. We will also be talking about why this work is important. Why did all these different entities decide to join in this effort, even though their core work might not be connected to hate, but there is an intersectionality that, you know, comes into play. And then lastly, we will be talking about how can people participate. So we'll be featuring our new website. We'll be sharing different ways in which people can actually request workshops, presentations, be part of the campaign, and things like that. So we do have Supervisor Chafee, who's going to be doing our welcome. So excited about that. And then Supervisor Bartlett is, she couldn't be there in person, but she is going to be present via video. So she will be sharing why, you know, the Board of Supervisors felt that this was important work and really put the money and the support behind the expansion. So please let us know. Please, if you can be there, that'd be great. I did send out the flyer yesterday. I will resend it out today. There's a link for you to register. Share it with your networks. We will be live streaming as well for folks who might still be a little bit nervous around being in a room full of people. So there will be that option as well. And I hope that I hope to see you there. We're so excited about this. With that, last month we shared about Nee's amazing journey to grad school. And now I have the honor in presenting to you all our newest CBO liaison. So it was a little bit of transition where Sarah, who's out sick today, transitioned into Nee's old position as a hate crime prevention coordinator, and Jesus Palapa, he is now our newest CBO liaison, who is right there. Hi, Jesus. I'm going to actually hand it over to you, Jesus, to give a quick introduction of yourself so people know who you are and where you're coming from.
Perfect. Thank you, Norma. Excited to be here today. My name is Jesus Palapa. And I actually just transitioned from our Family Resource Center down in South Orange County. So I've been supporting the work there with family advocacy. And I've actually been in different roles supporting nonprofits. So I'm very excited to be in this role specifically, just continuing to do that work in Orange County, really supporting families across Orange County and just lending a hand. I'm very excited to be a part of the anti-hate campaign, The Hate Hurts Us All, so excited to support the team there as well. Thank you for having me.
We're so glad to have you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks, Jesus.
Forward to working with you.
And I just want to do a last just plug to the previous conversation around Lisa's presentation and then, you know, an overall conference and focusing on hate being, you know, intersectional and also impacting different communities. I was trying to, I raised my hand, but I don't think people saw it, but I did want to say that we have a very unique platform right now with Hate Hurts Us All to be able to do that. And there is a different opportunities that we can create in being able to build more partnerships with other organizations, with other CBOs, with other leaders to really bring the spotlight this issue on a much broader scale. So in thinking about how do we address or how do we bring this to light, this here is the way to do so, because this is why the funding's there, right? Mm-hmm. We're trying internally as staff, we're trying to find ways to connect with different organizations and leverage whatever they're working on, leverage those events for us to be able to plug our campaign. So thinking about that as well, it would be helpful because that's really going to magnify the message. And if us or the commission organizing a large event is one of the ways, then that's great. But I do want to preface and I do want to make sure that we also understand that the broader community is having these conversations in different pockets,
mm-hmm.
right? And we need to make sure that we take advantage of those and be able to plug ourselves in those smaller spaces. So then that way we're able to really hit some of those hard to reach communities, which is why we established the comprehensive referral process with different CBOs. The CBOs might have not known about anti-hate work, but now they do. And now they see the connection, right? So being able to do that with this, I think that we need to find the opportunities. And if you are connected to an organization, an entity that is interested, please let us know. We'll go out and do the presentations and make the connections. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Norma. That's great. And it's so true. Now that we have the funding for it, we're ready to go. Let's make this happen. And we have these opportunities. It'll be great. Fareed?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. Norma, excellent update. Thank you. And welcome to Jesus Palapa. You're leading the CBO initiative there as a liaison. Great work by the team and this expanded contract that we caught. So a couple of questions, Norma. Is this hate, what is that title that you have? Hate hurts us all. Somehow it says love over here on the
yeah, thing.
So I was a little confused.
That was a typo.
Okay, so is this part of our funding or is it a separate thing that the supervisors have?
This is part of the anti-hate expansion work.
Okay, that we already have.
Yeah, okay. So this is like the turning point, right? We've been working in the background, setting up our new reporting forms, translating the reporting form, working with the marketing firm to build the campaign, doing different feedback input sessions, and this is it. So this is us going out to the community and saying, we're ready to go. We've got a new reporting site. We've got these languages accessible. We have these services available. We have these assets and collateral that now you can use
to
spread the news. And that's what we're doing on the 13th.
Fantastic. Now on that, as a follow-up, is there something that you can send as a package, or is it on the website accessible? Because I'm not, this is me personally, but I'm sure for all the other commissioners, that we can look at all assets, things that are collateral that you've developed under this program and outreach and everything else.
So it'll, we can it'll be on the website. So there's a toolkit that's being built, and I cannot share because we're still finishing approval process.
Okay. So
we haven't been able to get there. We're hoping to get there by Friday, by tomorrow.
Okay.
So, but Monday for sure, this is where we're going to be sharing, and everybody's going to have access to everything on the website.
Okay. But the commissioners, we cannot, even in a draft or final draft stage, can you not have a look at it, or is it only upon approval by Renee and the team?
Sure. Renee, I'm not sure. I mean, I can share, but I'm not sure what the.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, Ted is running the approvals through the appropriate process, and I'm not sure what the status is. And so I will touch base with him and let you know, but I don't have an update on that. I'm sorry.
Ted is here. Right. I didn't realize Ted was here. He's hiding.
Oh, there he is. Hi, yeah. good morning, or good afternoon, everyone. Hello. Yes, the fault is on me, not Renee. I am still looking at the toolkit. I should have that wrapped up, I would think, by the end of today. I would request that the commission does not view it yet, but I will make sure that I expedite this.
Thank you, Ted. I appreciate that. I'm only excited, and I just want to know what that is. I'm sure all of us are. This way, within our own minds, we can plan what to do next, right, as a commission.
I'm excited as well, and I'm worried I'm going to send it out in my excitement, and it's not going to be ready. So
I'm going to say, Fareed, is there's no opportunity to be lost here.
Okay.
Honestly, and my staff can speak to this, who have been working really closely with me and the marketing firm and Brenta. And Brenta has done such an amazing job with what we envisioned, right? What we wanted and the commission wanted through this contract. They were the perfect fit. They've listened to the community. They've listened to us in terms of this is what we felt the commission really needed. And when you see the website, honestly, I was, even without the edits, I was blown away on how attractive and how interactive it is, and just the different elements that they've added. I'm sure that once you see the packet, it'll be great. But I think when you see the entirety of the program on Monday that leads to this, people are going to be so excited. And
we're going to wait till Monday.
We're going to be really busy after that.
Okay. You can count me. I'll be there at 9 o'clock at the Irvine City Hall. It seems very exciting. But just as a segue, but to tie to what you were saying and what the earlier conversation was when Lisa was on the call, this all is coming full circle to where we started out some years ago, talking about having a broader participation and a platform for conversations, and we taking lead in summoning a conference or a summit or whatever you want to call it. So I'm bringing this up to the table and to our thing again. I do not know if that needs to have a separate ad hoc committee and to drive this in working with the staff under your leadership, Norma. I do not know that. Or is it part of the Hate Hurts Us All initiative? This is a clarification that I'm looking for. But right. If I were to put a request or a proposal, if an ad hoc committee is to be set up in that, I would like the chairwoman to consider that.
Well, I think that this would be inclusive of that, that the Hate Hurts Us All campaign would include projects like that and meetings like that and gatherings.
It would. Now, what I'm hearing Commissioner Faruqi say is active participation of commissioners and being able to organize we've organized listening to OCD and stuff. So from what I know, and Renee has alluded it, even Commissioner Leach, tomorrow's meeting around the bylaws is there's a proposal to create a standing committee because ad hocs should dissolve after a while, after time. But the standing committee is in perpetuity. There's a proposal to establish a standing committee that focuses specifically on outreach and engagement. And I feel that that's where this idea of a conference would live. Mm-hmm. So definitely, I feel that we don't. There's no need to add it to a create an ad hoc when there will be a committee as of tomorrow, hopefully with a quorum starting tomorrow. Because then that's where I think that's where folks can volunteer to be part of the committee and then plan out not only a conference, but what does outreach and engagement look like in a year's time, right?
Right.
Bring that out.
Yeah, the reason I bring this up now is, while this is this initiative and it's all within the Hate Hurts Us All campaign, which is part of the overall contract, expansion. There's only so much, even though you are adding capacity of hired people, there's only so much you can do. And we become a support and directive and what have you. So if you're working on the same team, it's just coming in a different direction. We come up with the ideas. We understand what's going on. So it's not, there's no duplication or, we get up one day. Oh, okay. I see that you're doing this. I didn't know that kind of thing, right? So that's where I'm coming from. So if the standing committee comes about and it gets included, I do not know if it's already in the bylaws. It's a new item that is being suggested by Commissioner Dot Leach or anyone else that is working along. That's great. I think that this will remove all the, I don't want to call barriers to entry, but you're going through the hoops. Thank you. I would love to be part of that.
Yes, please, Commissioner.
I am asking this out of total ignorance, so please forgive me. But Norma, the logo behind you, I love the Hate Hurts Us All. I don't understand, and I may be misinterpreting it. Why is hate scratched out at that? As that the message? Am I misunderstanding that? But it looks like it's been scratched out, and that the main thing we read is hurts us all.
The line is really just a representation of trying to eliminate hate. That's what it really is. I'm not the marketing firm, so I cannot speak as eloquently as our liaison around this.
I understand scratching out hate, but since that's our first word, and then all that's left is what hurts us all if hate's been scratched out? I guess that's, I may be putting more onto this than it should be, and forgive me. I just didn't understand it. And because communications is my background, I'm kind of thinking, what is this communicating? So forgive me. I just wanted to know, and I know you're not in charge of marketing, but it is kind of like I had to ask the question.
No, I'm sorry for interrupting, but it is coming across now, just seeing it, watching it behind you, it's coming across a little ambiguous because it's when you put a line through something, you're saying, it's almost saying, I mean, it could be misconstrued as anti-hate hurts us all. I mean, you know, when you put a line, like a red line through something, it makes a different meaning to that word. So it's a little ambiguous at this point, but.
Madam Chair, I think what the marketing thing consultants are, it's kind of brilliant in a way. It's basically saying we're eradicating hate, right? It's striking it out. That is, I think that's the meaning and much more. I would just, human nature and understanding, psychology is to reinforce positiveness, not negativity, even though you're dealing with negativity, right? Whether it is darkness, whether it is hate and all that. We use these words to describe something, but when we walk away, I'm not inspired enough. I'm not putting in the positive energy into what we are talking about and what we want to achieve and do. So my two cents in here, Norma, maybe a tagline, while this may be an initiative to eradicate hate that hurts us all, or whatever that meaning could imply with the strike, whatever, we should probably think about a word or a thing that says love binds us all, you know, or something of that sort. Has a positive connotation of an action to eradicate hate. You know,
well, I don't want to repeat the feedback. All I can think about was, where was this feedback in April when we had our input meeting?
No, I agree with having the hate. I think it needs to be.
Add the tagline to this, because you're only seeing the logo. And right. This is actually not the updated logo, because the updated logo has a county seal on it. But the tagline is, you're not alone. Let's work together to fight against hate in Orange County. Mm-hmm. That's the tagline that the community voted on. So mm-hmm. At this point, we've held three different sessions, and this is what the community rallied around, and this is what we're finalizing. So I can't make any more changes.
No. And Norma, there is one, I've seen a billboard and it has cancer and it has a line through cancer. And then it has a statement below, like, we're fighting together. So it's not saying cancer doesn't exist. It has a line through it. And that's an advertisement that I've seen. So mm-hmm. I understand what Dot's saying when you add the part that you just added to, it conceptualizes the whole story rather than just one word. So mm-hmm. I can see why they did it.
Yeah. And I think it's a very powerful statement.
It is. And that's the whole thing.
You. I think it really grabs you. Yeah.
It's and that's the boldness of the statement. Hate hurts us all. I just felt like it kind of diminished it. And forgive me, I did not see this in April. I don't remember this in April. Forgive me, I must have blacked out. But thank you for letting me ask the question. I appreciate being able to ask the question.
I think it was, you know, I think that it needs to be a powerful grab you kind of statement. And I think that that's what this is. I think that the consensus was hate is so horrible that we want that to stand out, that we are not going to tolerate it, that hate is hurting us. And, you know, I think it's powerful. I don't, you know, the line thing, I think, you know, it could be read, but once you put all of that together, I think it's strong and powerful.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have no other updates. That's it.
Okay. All right. Next item.
Okay. Item number 9, update from OC Chiefs and Sheriff.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you. I think I'll keep it short. I know we're approaching the close of our meeting, but the big topic of conversation amongst Orange County Chiefs and the Sheriff, and especially across the country, is all these mass shootings that we've seen at least in the last 2-3 weeks. Of course, this is something that's going on for, gosh, decades now, sadly. But ever since what happened in Uvalde, it's really raised a lot of concerns with our schools and parents, and definitely the children that are impacted by this. So everybody, when I say everybody, every chief is kind of handling it their own way within the community. You know, this is just my way of just giving a plug for Irvine. Tonight, we're holding a town hall specific to school safety. But I know in the coming weeks or months, there's going to be a lot of meetings between police, municipalities, and their communities, trying to highlight some of the work that they do to make sure that they were keeping their children safe. So for us tonight, 6 p.m. at our city hall, we'll be holding a town hall. It's also going to be available online, so those that can't make it can watch it online. And it's going to highlight our efforts and partnerships that we have with both school districts in Irvine, both the Irvine Unified School District and the Tustin Unified School District that has some campuses within our city boundaries. So that is all I have, Madam Chair. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, applicant. And next item, please.
Item number 10, OCSD Interfaith Council Update.
And that would have been Rabbi Rick, who had to leave. Norma, did you have anything to add to that? Or okay. So we're going to go on to our next item, please.
Okay, and that would be announcements from commissioners.
And does anyone have an announcement?
I do. I had a great jubilee in England.
Oh, you were there for that?
Yeah, I was there the whole time. It was so wonderful to see people come together and come out of their houses where they hadn't most probably spoken to each other, of all groups, of all nationalities, and have parties on the street, rows and rows of tables with people bringing out food. It was an amazing, amazing experience. And I loved every minute of it and was very proud to be there. So just thought I'd share that.
Oh, that's very exciting. That's cool. Yeah. So are you still in England?
No, I'm back. I came back a few days ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Had a lovely month of doing nothing.
Very nice.
Oh, it was wonderful. So.
Well, thank you for sharing that news. And anyone else? Okay, the last item, or next item.
I officially adjourn
the meeting. Thank you, everyone, for your time.
Hope to see you tomorrow.
And yes, please, everyone, please RSVP to Norma, and please come.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.